Okay. In one of the anticlimactic parts of Esedra, the Parsha is very climactic. The donkey, the curse is turned into brachos, the end of the Parsha, the diplomatic meetings. But there's one part that's very quiet, where everything seems to be flowing very, very naturally. Things have already been established in some two very interesting Rashis. Bilam has already been convinced. He meets Balak. Now they're walking to this sinister act. Vayelech Bilam im Balak. Contrasting to the previous section where Bilam couldn't walk with his donkey, couldn't ride his donkey. Now there's movement, there's transportation, there's relocation. Vayavo Kiryat Chutzot. And they travel to this really huge town called Kiryat Chutzot. Chutzot means marketplace. Rashi talks about why they visited a marketplace. Maybe we'll get back to that Rashi later. There's a lot of activity. This is a very important event for the people of Moab because they're in dreadful fear of the Jewish people. So if Bilam will be successful, then their situation will stabilize. If Bilam will fail, so there's a lot of interest and excitement and hopes that are raised by this strategy. So you can imagine it's probably a parade that takes place in Kiryat Chutzot to send Bilam off to his desk. Now, Bilam had asked Balak to construct 7 mizbechot. So Balak offers those korbanot. We'll talk about that later. And all the preparations are taken. And let me find the pasuk. Vayomer Bilam leBalak. So now everything's ready. Bilam tells Balak, Hisyatzeber lolosecha, stand by your korbanolos, ceremoniously. We'll see what this means later. Ve'elcha, let me go now meet Hashem. Ulayi kara Hashem lekrasi, perhaps Hashem will appear to me. He can't control it. Udivar mayireni, and I'll tell you what Hashem conveys to me. Vayelech shefi. Very strange word, vayelech shefi. What does the word shefi mean? So the Ibn Ezra says shefi means a high mountain. He went to a high mountain to gaze upon the Jewish people, because Bilam's always looking for a mountain range. And the Ibn Ezra quotes a pasuk that suggests it's a high and even surpassing mountain cliff. Either way, the word shefi is a very, very rare word, if at all. There's no time this word reappears in Tanakh, which is in and of itself a notable issue or a remarkable issue. Rashi says the word shefi means he walks alone. Again, there's no reference or parallel. Vayelech shefi ki targumo, he quotes Targum Unkelus, yechidi. Bilam is alone. Eleshon shofi v'sheket. Rashi turns the word shofi into the word sheket. It's quiet. She'ein ima elashtika. So now Rashi gives us a hint that it's a loneliness that's defined by the quiet, and it's defined by the quiet, and that's all you have. So Rashi's telling us that shefi means lonely, but it's a loneliness marked by quiet, and it's also a loneliness marked by quiet as the sole element that you can characterize that experience by. Sometimes you're quiet, but there's a lot surrounding you here. You're quiet, lonely, and all you have is your own silence. Why does the Torah describe Bilam's approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the word shefi, or silence, and quiet, and aloneness? So let's start from the beginning. On the one hand, this is part of the debunking of Bilam. Bilam's a big blabbermouth. Bilam likes to talk. Bilam's a prophet. Bilam likes to mouth off. Bilam has a lot to say. And he also sees a lot. And the two parts of Bilam's persona that are being discombobulated and are being taken from him are vision and speech. So he can't see the malach where the donkey can. And the malach and the donkey have a conversation that he can't participate in, and according to Chazal, in very strange language. So this is Hashem's way of continuing to show Bilam that whatever traits and talents you think you possess and you can exploit others with, they're talents that I can take away. This is a chance for you not to be talking at all. There's no talk. There's no one to talk to. There's no one in your vicinity. You're alone. There's no point for communication. This great prophet that can convey these very, very large messages to throngs of people, there's no longer communication here. However, being alone, I think, conveys two other points, aside from the fact that he's not talking. Number one, first of all, this is going to be some form of Gilui Shechina, and there's a need to demarcate this Gilui Shechina from Har Sinai and from other Gilui Shechinas. Har Sinai was a one-off event. What made it a one-off event? That is mass revelation. There's revelation to more than one person. There's a revelation that could be corroborated by common experience. Here there's going to be some degree of revelation. Hashem's going to speak to Bilam, or it's going to appear to Bilam, by Yikar, but it has to be alone. It can't be anyone else with him. And that discriminates this from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered Am Yisrael in the desert, that we all saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a tzibur, panim b'fanim. So Bilam has to be alone, not just because he's not talking, he has to be alone because whatever Gilui Shechina will happen on a solitary basis. The third reason he has to be alone, and this is probably the most, I would say the most central of the issue, is that Bilam's a big celebrity. He always had people visiting him, kings, diplomats, messengers, dispatches. And whatever you have in this world, you don't bring with you when you stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's irrelevant. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, all those material possessions, valuables, achievements, accomplishments, titles, whatever people value in this world, lose any meaning when you stand in front of Hashem. None of them have any relevance. It's who you are and what your identity is. And it's a tremendous contrast, a striking contrast. This person who began the Parsha, Bilam ben Baor, a remarkable, renowned prophet, the son of a prophet, to whom visitors are always arriving and offering gold and silver, around which there's always a brouhaha and a parade, he's been reduced to being just simply standing alone. And that's why the word shofi, according to Rashi, means not just quiet, but all you have is your quiet. You have nothing else. Basically, it's an inversion of everything else he possessed. He possessed all these possessions and visitors and title. And now all he has is his own quiet and his own silence standing in front of him. It's a metaphor, of course, for human life. When we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't really stand with any of the possessions that we typically, or accomplishments that we typically value in our world. So it's a metaphor for human beings when they stand in front of Hashem, not just the debunking or a disavowing of everything that Bilam had accomplished. When a person stands in front of Hashem, vayelach shefi, a person stands, all you have is your own silence and your own quiet. Okay? Now, vayikar alokim el Bilam, so Hashem appears to Bilam, vayomrei lev, as shivas hamizbechos arachti. Bilam is very proud of himself. These are the seven mizbechos that I've constructed, and I hope they'll be effective. So Rashi senses, why seven mizbechos? Why the number seven? So in a very childish way, but a very revealing way, Rashi says, Bilam is trying to compete with the Avos. If you look in Brachos, the Avos constructed seven mizbechos. He said, if the Avos have seven, I will counteract those seven with my own seven. Avram built four, three plus the Akedah. Yitzchak built one, and Yaakov built two. That's eight. Four, five, that's seven. Yaakov built two. My math's a little off. Now this is revealing on two fronts. What's the difference between the seven mizbechos of the Avos and the seven mizbechos of Bilam? Bilam is a good point. Why doesn't he defeat the Avos with the seven mizbechos? So the answer is twofold. Number one, because religion is not just this mechanical, magical process with levers and buttons. The Avos didn't just build mizbechos. It was a gradual process of discovering Hashem, of understanding Hashem. It's laughable when you think about it. Let's say I challenge you to become the Vilna Gaon tomorrow. Okay, turn around. Today you're so-and-so. It's a gradual process. That's the danger of chumrah sometimes, that chumrah sometimes convince people that they can make quick and rapid strikes in Avodas Hashem without going through a long process. The Avos of seven mizbechos unfolded over hundreds of years in many locations, in many different contexts, in response to many different interactions with Hashem. And you're just going to go and build seven mizbechos, and you think that you're going to achieve the same religious experience of the Avos who built it gradually in response to different experiences. So that's part of the failure of Bilam, that he assumes that all this religious growth can happen gradually. But part of it, even more so, is the Avos didn't build mizbechos. The Avos established relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for which the mizbechos were manifestations. And Bilam just doesn't get it. In Bilam's pagan world, man is trying to control God's activity. You can bribe God, you can butter God up, you can appease him, you can placate him, you can exploit him, you can intoxicate, you can try through human gifts and virgins and wines and sacrifices to try to cause God's hand to move or to... It's not a relationship. That's basically trying to manipulate God with a small g. Masiyat de'adam, all of paganism is built on that. What makes Judaism so powerful is the combination between monotheism, that you can't control Hashem, but also there's a relationship that you have with Hashem, even though he's so unknown and impenetrable and inscrutable. We have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what's completely absent from Parshas Balak and Bilam. This doesn't seem to be a relationship. He just seems to be trying to influence and compel Hashem through these seven mizbechos. And what's stunningly absent from Parshas Balak? Tefillah. At no point does Bilam daven to Hashem. You think that if Bilam really is earnest and really, really desires this project to succeed, he'd actually daven. Because davening would reflect a relationship, and especially in light of all the davening that Moshe performed over the last two Svarim, it's eerily absent. There's no tefillah. For him, it's a mizbeach. And what's also fascinating is these seven mizbechos are not just seven mizbechos. They all reflect a relationship. But two in particular are not just a mizbeach. They're really relationship-crowning moments. One of them is the Akedah, and one of them is Yaakov's mizbeach in Beit Yah. You can't just call these the mizbeach. The Akedah is not just, another of the seven. The Akedah was a climax of a human being reacting to Hashem passionately, being willing to sacrifice your son. That's not a mizbeach. It's a relationship. It's an interaction. As is, of course, Yaakov's in Beit Yah, the loyalty, the dependability, being lonely, looking to Hashem when he's traveling, fleeing from Esav. And you sense that it's not just the absence of tefillah, but even in the way that Bilam constructs the Mizbeach. When he finally meets Balak, it's fascinating how artificial and mechanical he thinks religion is. Vayomer Bilam el Balak. I'm going back to Psukim. B'nei li vazeh shiva mizbechos. Build me seven mizbechos. V'hachein li vazeh shiva parim shiva ilim. And prepare them for me. They're not for me. They're for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least we think. But for Bilam, they're just levers in order to induce divine will or to shape divine will. And he tells Bilam to Balak, Yatzev al Alasecha, now that the Mizbech has been built, go stand there and sacrifice the Karban. Bilam isn't even involved personally. The whole purpose of a Karban is lit karev, to be close to Hashem. So you have to be on your Karban. You can't just, of course, Shluch HaShem Kimoso, you can appoint the Shliach, but there's no Shlichus appointing going on here. This is just magic. Buttons, levers, in order to convince God, in order to manipulate God's will, a Karban will do the trick, or seven Karbanos will do the tricks. Of course, the word Karban doesn't even appear. It's Mizbechos. The word Karban doesn't appear because there's no relationship here. This isn't a Karban Tashem. So you really understand, ironically, through Bilam, what religion is meant to be. It's meant to be a Karban that affects Hashem. It's meant to be a Karban that creates a relationship that then can be employed to try to ask Hashem for certain responses and requests. And it doesn't happen overnight. Building seven mizbechos is something that's a gradual process, and Bilam just doesn't get it. So there are two interesting Rashis. Number one, the fact that Bilam is completely alone when he meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just to create distance between Har Sinai and this Gilui Shechina, but because whatever he has in the beginning of the Parsha, it's no longer relevant when he stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was so pompous and bombastic and relying upon his ego and his reputation, and now these are, of course, ridiculously meaningless in the presence of Hashem. And the second issue is the seven mizbechos trying to outcompete the mizbechos of the avos, and the two great errors are, number one, it's not something you can just build overnight. Something that takes a process, different times and contexts. Number two, it's not a mizbech, it's a relationship that the avos enjoy. The mizbechos were just reflections and manifestations for Bilam. That whole relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely absent. So when he says Hashem Elokav Imo Uteruas Melech Bo, when Bilam talks about the Jewish people, so we interpret the word Truas Melech Bo to mean the shofar. It's why we say this pasuk in Rosh Hashanah. But another interpretation of the word Truas Melech Bo is Milashon Rea, V'yavta L'Reacha Kamocha, that they are the friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Truas Melech, the friend of the king. Hashem is not just the king whose will can be bent and reshaped, but he's also a Re'ah, he's also a relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Bilam just doesn't get. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everyone.